is my God and my salvation. And he fulfills that name and that promise in Matthew 1. And let's read that together. Matthew 1, page 959 in your pew Bibles. We read the word genealogy in verse 1. Remember, in the Greek, that word is Genesis. The Greek name for the first book of the Bible. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram, and Ram, the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab, the father of Nashon, and Nashon, the father of Salmon, and Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David the king, and David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, and Abijah, the father of Asaph, and Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram, and Joram, the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah, the father of Jotham, and Jotham, the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh, the father of Amos, and Amos, the father of Josiah, Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers, at the time of the deportation to Babylon, and after the deportation to Babylon. Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiad, and Abiad the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliad, and Eliad the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. This is God's word. May he bless our lives by it. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to do a series of sermons with God's help from the Gospel of Matthew. And one of the unique features of the Gospel of Matthew is that the Holy Spirit, as he's writing this gospel through Matthew, says, "Matthew, I want in this gospel to focus on the name Son of David." Matthew uses this name more than any other gospel writer, Son of David. And that's the focus of Matthew 1. In fact, most often when the language Son of David is used in the book of Matthew, it's like Bartimaeus used it. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He's a king of mercy, and sinners and all needy people cry out to him for mercy. and he will show you mercy. But before we begin our week-by-week trek through Matthew, during these months leading or weeks leading to Easter, I want to focus on several passages in the book of Matthew that focus on people calling on Jesus as the Son of David. So first, a few Son of David passages, and then circle back. We'll pick it up, Lord willing, again at Matthew 2 after Easter. All this, if God wills that for us. Here is the arrival of the Son of David on his mercy mission. I appreciated many things about the addresses by Pastor Williamson and his wife Amy yesterday. Probably the thing I appreciated the most was their constant reminder. It's not only non-believers that need the gospel, but Christians need the gospel every day. We need this King and his mercy. And sometimes Christians think, we got that already. We're done with that. It's for others. I'm okay. No, we're not. We need his mercy for our own sins and weaknesses. Maybe you're still struggling with grief or disappointment with someone, or to control your emotions. Maybe that's a real issue for you. You struggle with lust or other temptations, pride, greed and envy, or you're a slave to fear or worry and that quickly overtakes you. We need mercy every day. And here's the King of mercy, who's for you and me. And he's stretching out his hand to us and saying, I've come to save you from your sins and your misery. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So that's his invitation and his summons to each one of us as we go through this today and in the weeks to come. Remember his call. Come to me. Let him speak to your heart and your need. And don't shield yourself from him and say, I don't want to deal with that. Because then that King will destroy you if you persistently reject him. Though he loves you and is calling you to come. We want to see three things about him here. He's the Son of David, who came as the son of Mary and Joseph, and is eternally the Son of God, the Son of David. The title of the book, The Book of the Genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. The book of the fulfillment of promise, the one God promised to Abraham a long time ago, a son. Through your son, all the people groups of the earth will be blessed. He came. And the son of King David, that great, mighty, conquering king of mercy who did so much good for Israel. He came. You think the book of the genealogy, you mean these first 17 verses, the genealogy, that's the book? No. This genealogy really refers to the whole book. And again, as I suggested earlier, the word genealogy is Genesis in the Greek, which in the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, the title they put above the first book is Genesis, the same word. And the point of the Holy Spirit is, you know, that first Genesis got wrecked by us in our sin, in our first parents, Adam and Eve. We wrecked our lives by by turning our backs on God. The creation got wrecked. Plunged into darkness. Everything broke down. But God is starting a new Genesis, a new world, a new life for you and me, a new creation. This is the new life and the new start that we, the children of the first Adam, need by running to the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus. And then the genealogy itself, verses 2 through 17, focuses on Jesus not only as the son of Abraham, but especially as the son of David. Now, genealogies are complicated, and this one's especially complicated. And Matthew arranges it in three sets of 14 generations. He says that deliberately, verse 17, here's what I'm doing. And there's more generations than 14. So obviously it's a genealogy that's making some kind of a point. We've talked about this before, but I want to speak about that again. What point is this making? But first of all, this is a genealogy that follows the royal line of King David, the legal line of the kings. Going from Abraham to King David through Solomon down to Joseph, son of David, and Jesus. And then if you look at the Gospel of Luke, you say, those names are so much different. They're the same until you get to David, and then it traces Joseph's genealogy, not through David's son Solomon, the line of kings, but through his son Nathan, not the line of kings. And all of a sudden you get a whole bunch of different names from David to Joseph. What's going on? We don't know. That's the first thing. We don't really know. But you think back your own genealogies, your own family trees. Back a few generations, one of my parents had two dads. The first dad died, the biological dad, and then the mom remarried, and there was an adoptive dad, a second dad, and I could trace my line through the adoption or through the biological line, and we think that's what's going on. We know that it's the adoptive line in Matthew, and perhaps it's through a second marriage, a biological line in the book of Luke. But the Holy Spirit makes the point clear in Matthew, it's the adoptive line of Jesus from David through Solomon and the kings down to Joseph. That's the track. And three sets of 14, even though there are more than 14, like we're skipping three kings, for example, in the kings of Judah. We're skipping Amaziah. We're skipping Ahaziah. We're skipping Joash, that young king. Not because they were especially bad. The worst kings are still included, like Ahaz and Manasseh. What's his point? It's a genealogy with a point. And the most obvious point, there's no numbers in the Hebrew alphabet, nor vowels, no written vowels, but no numbers. So the letters of the alphabet are given a numerical value, and that's how they did their counting. And the letter D is the number 4 in Hebrew alphabet. The letter V is the number 6. And David's name in Hebrew is DVD, so 464 equals 14. 14, 14, 14. David, David, David. And David gets most of the emphasis in this chapter. And the whole point is, the son of David is coming for you and me. And you remember that promise to David and the covenant made with David in 2 Samuel 7? One day you're going to have a son, David, and he's going to reign forever, and his kingdom's going to last forever, and he's going to destroy all his enemies. so we can live undisturbed and in total peace and safety. Wow. That King has come, brothers and sisters, and he's come for us. Son of Abraham, to bring blessing to all nations. Son of David, to establish a new and glorious kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the promise of a perfect and peaceful kingdom. I'd love such a king to come and rule the world as this one. I'm looking for a prime minister change in Canada who will hopefully make Canada a better place to live. And I have friends in the U.S. who are looking for a change in the White House to make the U.S. a better place to live. But you know what? No matter how good the new guy is, he can't possibly bring us a new Genesis, a new life, a new world. There's only one who can build up a new life and a new creation from the bottom up. You know, if you want to go do a total restoration on a car, you can't just paint the outside. You got to go down to the depths of that vehicle, the depths of the engine, the depths of the metal, right down to the bottom. And there's only one who can do that of your life and of this world. It's King Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins, to go to the depths of our human problem and issues and rebuild from the bottom up. Give us new life from the bottom up and from the inside out. He's the son of David. Secondly, he's the son of Mary and Joseph. We'll refer to the genealogy again, but let's jump ahead from the royal family tree to the royal birth of the son of David, verses 18 through 25. We move from the royal family tree to the royal birth. And when we meet Mary in verse 18, she's already pregnant. She's already the mother of baby Jesus. She's betrothed to a man named Joseph, and a betrothal is a legal engagement, complete with paperwork, and takes a divorce to end this engagement. Betrothal, you already called each other husband and wife, though you had no intimacy and did not live together. And she's pregnant, even though they've not been together in an intimate way, sexually. And she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit's power, who by a miracle formed a child in her womb from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary without the involvement of a human father. The thing is, Joseph doesn't know this. He doesn't know this background. He assumes, my wife, my betrothed has been unfaithful to me. And being a just man, he knows he needs to break off this engagement. He needs to pursue a divorce. He's got to end this as a righteous man, a just man. But as a merciful man, he could holler in front of the courts and declare himself innocent and get her into all kinds of severe consequences. But he doesn't. He wants to do this quietly and keep this out of the courts. He wants to keep it under the radar, to be kind to Mary. So he's resolved to do this. But while he hasn't finished it yet, he's still considering it. An angel of the Lord comes and interrupts Joseph's plans. Don't be afraid to continue the betrothal, Joseph, and take her as your wife, because this pregnancy is from the Holy Spirit. She's going to bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's a fulfillment of what the Lord told King Ahaz 700 years earlier, when through Isaiah the prophet, Ahaz was told the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel. Ahaz is troubled by the kings of Syria and Israel coming and looking for help. And basically God says, the real help you need is Emmanuel. Now, Ahaz rejected that message, but it stood firm, and the Lord fulfilled it. So Joseph obeys the command of the Lord. He didn't break the engagement. He took his wife, Mary, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, that's an act of fatherhood, of ownership. He has adopted Jesus as his own child. And that's how Jesus enters the royal line through Joseph, son of David's adoption. Now, some say, well, Mary was from David's line. We're not told that. We don't know that. Matthew's point is, it's through Joseph, son of David. And that acceptance on Joseph's part, think of that. Take her. Keep her as your wife, as your betrothed. Marry her. Take this child. Embrace this child as yours. What a game changer that was for Joseph. He could have said no thanks and lived an easy and quiet life out of harm's way. But like Mary accepted this calling in faith in Luke 1, Joseph accepts this calling in faith in Matthew 1 and is willing to have Jesus interrupt his life. Boy, Matthew 2, suddenly he's under the radar of Herod, who wants to kill him or kill his baby. And he has to flee with Mary and Jesus to Egypt and stay there till Herod's dead and then move back to Nazareth. And for the rest of his life, everything's different. And brothers and sisters, when we embrace this son of David, this king of mercy, that's a game changer. That's a life changer. That's an interruption, a glorious one. It takes you out of the kingdom of Satan and brings you into the kingdom of God. But before you receive the crown of eternal life for embracing Jesus into your life, you have to bear a cross of pain, a cross of pain to imitate your Savior who bore the cross for you and me. And that's what he did. And that's the choice you and I are called to make today. For the first time or again. Yes, Jesus, you're the one I need. And I'm afraid of the consequences of trusting in you, but I'm far more afraid of the consequences of not trusting in you, of what sort of a ruined life that will give me. So I trust you and I put the consequences in your hand and say, Lord, lead me, guide me to the promised land. With you, I am safe, great King of mercy. Now you might think, well, Joseph and Mary were worthy of that, of being part of Jesus' kingdom, because they were righteous people. Mary was favored. Joseph was a just man. But who am I to enjoy Jesus as my King of mercy, to allow me to get rid of my past and to start a new life with God? Who am I? Well, that takes us back to the genealogy where the Holy Spirit says, in case you're wondering whether you have the right to say, Son of David, have mercy on me, I just want you, says the Holy Spirit, to look at the family tree and see in verse 3, Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. There is a horrible story of a mixture of incest and prostitution yielding a father and mother of Jesus Christ in the family line, Judah Tamar Perez. He's not ashamed to call us his brothers. And then a little later on, we have Salmon, the father of Boaz, verse 5, by Rahab. Oh, another lady, a prostitute who made a living by selling her body. Tamar, Rahab, both Gentiles. And Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth. There we have a Moabitess woman, an idol worshiper, another Gentile, converted to God. And then verse 6, and Jesse, the father of David, the king, and David was the father of Solomon by what? The wife of Uriah. We can't just say Bathsheba. We've got to bring all the skeletons out of the closet. Adultery leading to murder to cover the adultery. One of the fathers and mothers of Jesus. Bathsheba, also likely a Gentile, married to Uriah the Hittite, a Gentile convert to the God of Israel. Now, what about all those bad guys? The ones we know. Solomon. What a tragic story. Rehoboam. Bad guy. Think of what Asa did in his pride. Uzziah in his pride. Ahaz, terrible king, ungodly. Hezekiah. Manasseh. What a cast of characters. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came to save flawed, ungodly, the worst of sinners. And I hope, brothers and sisters, you find a lot of comfort and peace in this chapter. That he's willing to come for sinners like me, to give me a new start, to make my life new, and to get rid of my past. Not to erase the memory of it, Paul still remembered his past, but the guilt of it. The barrier of it between you and God, to get rid of that. This king came to save us from our deepest issue, sin, and the misery that sin brings. To go to the cross for us, to pay for our sins, to wash away our guilt, to bring us out of our broken relationship with God and give us a new and right relationship with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He will give you rest. You give him all your burdens and your life's weariness, the things that are making you tired and sick of life. You give that to him, and he said, I'll carry that load for you, and I'll give you rest instead. He really will. You're wondering what to do with your load right now. You say, I can't carry that. This is too heavy a sin. This is too heavy a struggle. This thing never goes away. This is a sickness that's bringing me down. I can't carry that. And no, we can't. But he came to save us from our sins and the consequences of sin, the misery that sin has brought into our world. And so he didn't come to make Canada great again. I'm always thankful for leaders who do good things for our nation, but he came to go deep into your life and make you new again. Set you free from the worst evil and misery that afflicts your life. Your sins that make you guilty before God. Your sins that make you their slave and drive you to become selfish and angry and resentful and addicted and covetous and dissatisfied, discontented with life and a slave to all kinds of fears. Your sins that wreck relationships with God and people. to go right down to the deepest core of your life and take that on himself and make you new. And we cry, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he will not turn us away. And just briefly, thirdly, he is the Son of God who came. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And if this doesn't blow you away, nothing will. This King of mercy who came into your life to take your life's burdens and sins and make them his own and set you free is not just another do-gooder who comes along and says, I'm the one you should vote for. This is God himself who has come down to stand in our place, to join our family tree, and it's a horrible one. To make our problems his own, our sins his own, our troubles, our punishments his own, our guilt his own. It's God. If there's anybody who can do it, it's God, God's Son. He's God with us. Nobody else can. You know, when we have an emptiness that fills our life, what do we often turn to? Food. Fun. The power of anger. Some look to be filled by that. Shop for new clothes. Work harder. Try on a new identity. Play the lottery. Trade in my spouse for a better model. New relationship. We try all those things to fill that emptiness and to make us new. And make us happy, and it can't. Doesn't have that much strength or goodness. But Jesus is the one, because he's the Son of God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Didn't from heaven say, hey, I'm saving you from a distance, but I'm keeping my hands clean from you guys. I'm coming down. I'm becoming one of you. What king actually totally enters the misery of his people? He might throw some money at it. But what king is actually willing to come down and stand in your place and say, I'll carry that for you and set you free? God with us. Three gospel words. God came down to be with, all the way with, us sinners. And you can be sure that a God is going to do that when you say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And whatever it is that needs mercy in your life, you could say, I'm not going to deal with that. I just want to stay being the way I am. That would be too uncomfortable. Well, then you got to let your sin kill you. But you can be sure that when you come to him and you cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, he will take it, your burden, your weariness, your sin, and he will give you rest, and he will give you and be your new Genesis, a new start. Amen. Father in heaven, what a gift of mercy. Not just a word, but a person. The person of the Son of God. Almighty, altogether holy, powerful, coming in our very own flesh. Stepping into all our weakness and sin. Thank you for coming for us, for me. Now give us the faith and the openness of heart and the humility to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. and give us a new start and a renewed start in our lives today to trust that you will truly make everything well for us. And you will truly bring us to that utopia, the promised land of perfect glory, where there's nothing to hurt or destroy us. Take us to your glory land, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.